Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Diane Garris. And the brief song intro you just heard is Mystics 9 from my award-winning album, Mystics 9, which is available digitally and as a physical CD wherever music is sold, downloaded, or streamed. You can listen for free 24/7 to our actual music station, New Age Notes, featuring relaxing New Age music every day, 24/7 by the best New Age musicians on the planet. And you can do that by going to newagenotes.com. We have a very special guest with us today, American composer, pianist, and percussionist, Louis Anthony DeLeese. But before I bring him on with me, here's a little background about Louis. Louis Anthony DeLeese is an award-winning American composer, pianist, and percussionist. He was born in Philadelphia, and his family moved to rural Pennsylvania when he was 6, and at that tender age, he began his music study. And, of course, this goes with my theory that the soul knows exactly what it came here to do from a very, very young age. So Louis has had a varied music career and has included working with an orchestral working as an orchestral and studio musician and producing, arranging, and conducting for dozens of major label recordings. What's very cool about that is some of those included arranging and conducting for Grammy winners like Patti LaBelle, Peter Nero, and the Grammy-winning band Hailstorm. Louis was also an adjunct lecturer of theory and composition at the Boyer College of Music and Dance, which is in Philadelphia. And, as well, he's the author of The Professional Songwriter, which is a textbook on songwriting. And we're going to find out more about that in our interview. Louis's first album in the New Age genre, and as a featured artist, was Natural Light, which was released in 2019. And that album included performances by Grammy winner Nancy Rumbel and the esteemed horn player Jeff Foster, who's really well known in our New Age genre. I had the pleasure of reviewing that album, Natural Light, and I said then to Louis, and I'm going to say again now, that music was so beautiful, it literally brought me to tears. I was listening to it crying, sobbing. It was gorgeous. So that debut album, Natural Light, charted in the top 10 on the Zone Music Reporter charts and also earned several nominations, including nominations from ZMR, which is Zone Music Reporter, One World Music Radio, and also Enlightened Piano Radio, which is kind of a big deal, especially for a debut album. So now Louis's new album is releasing on April 13th, which is a couple days from now, as we're doing this show. And that album is called A Gift of Moments. And A Gift of Moments is even more astoundingly beautiful and moving than Natural Light. And it was composed and written in the lockdown period of 2020. A lot of good music that came out of there, but this is really special, magical. So we're going to be playing a few tracks from on this show from A Gift of Moments. So you're going to be able to hear it for yourself how beautiful this music really is. So with all that, Louis, hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Diane. Thank you so much for having me on your show. My goodness, you gave me goosebumps.
Well,
listening
your
to you.
Music
listening. Well, Thank you. It's very special coming from you.
Well, you're welcome. And I'm really glad that you're here with me today. So, such an accomplished man, amazingly so. You teach, you orchestrate, compose, you're a percussionist, a pianist, and more. But let's kind of start at the beginning. You started your music studies around age 6, so young. what instrument did you start with, and why?
Well, I started as a drummer, and I guess it might have been second grade, so I might have been seven-ish, you know, whatever that age is around that time, and did the typical thing, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, I want to be a drummer, just like my Uncle Rocky. My mom's brother, Rocco, was a professional drummer, and probably about the coolest man I ever met. So I wanted to be like Uncle Rocco.
Oh, wow.
I started lessons at the high school. You know, they have those Saturday morning programs for little kids, and I went in and started lessons there. And then eventually my parents, I guess, saw a little bit of a spark, and I was fortunate to have lessons after that for a long time, probably a good 10 years, with a man named Kenny Lawrence, who was a man from the region, who was just a terrific musician. And, you know, what a gift, you know, kind of dumb luck, you know, to just be in this person's company and to work with him from an early age. So yeah, I started as a drummer, and then eventually there was a piano in the house. Ostensibly it was for my sister, who took lessons, and I would play at the piano and bother the heck out of everybody in the house because I wouldn't stop playing, and taught myself some tunes. And eventually Mr. Lawrence worked with me, teaching me theory, music theory, about chords and scales and that kind of stuff. And I went from there. that was the start.
And so, you know, like I said in the beginning, I think the soul knows exactly what it came here to do. And so you must have just known. But the drumming thing is interesting to me because you're such an excellent orchestrator and pianist. So after all of this, you actually did a formal education in music. So tell us a little about that.
Well, I did. Again, you know, kind of very fortunate. I auditioned for the College of Music at Temple University, and I was accepted into the program there, and I majored in composition and in orchestral percussion playing, which is kind of a very practical course of study if you want to play in a symphony orchestra. So, again, very fortunate to have great teachers there. The principal percussionist from the Philadelphia Orchestra was one of my teachers. That's Charles Owen. And then I also studied with the timpanist from the Minnesota Symphony, Jack Moore, and studied composition with a man named Clifford Taylor. And it was just great. So that was the beginning of the formal education part of my life. Somewhere.
Well, what about? Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, somewhere towards the end of what should have been a four-year program, I kind of drifted out of school without graduating. I was working so much in the music world. I was playing gigs and writing for records and doing some writing for television in the Philadelphia area. And I just left school with, I think I had two courses left to finish. And eventually in a year or so, my dad kind of leaned on me along with many other people, and I went back and got the degree. So that was
interesting. It is interesting. And you went on to have a doctorate though too.
Well, yeah. You know, I worked in the field for a long time. I say I was working in the trenches. You know, I was a real live musician playing gigs, playing shows, and working in theater pits and with opera companies and recording sessions, and then also writing for recording sessions. Philadelphia is quite a music town, a recording town, and I was doing commercials and music for television and production music for radio and record dates, as you mentioned, for record companies or record labels. And eventually I decided I wanted to, I was teaching, doing some teaching always, and I enjoyed that and decided I wanted to go back to school. And I was fortunate enough to be accepted into a graduate program and eventually earned a doctorate in composition.
It's just amazing. All right, so when did you pick up the piano, though? That's what I want to know. When did you start with the piano?
Well, I never actually picked it up because the piano is too damn heavy to pick, you know.
Heavy.
No, yeah, I began playing piano by ear, really, when I was a little kid. You know, probably in around third or fourth grade, and I would sit at the piano and make up tunes.
Very cool.
Eventually, when I got a little bit older and had learned about chords and such, I would read through fake books, what musicians call fake books, which are kind of anthologies of pop tunes of the era and old songs, you know, and I would just read through those, sit at the piano, play. When I say read through them, I mean have them in front of me and play through the sheet music. I think that's really how I learned how to write, you know, by playing those old pieces.
It's interesting. And so you kind of improvise from those, I think.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So tell us about your very first paying music gig. And I also want to find out about, you know, you made your first record at 16. So that's astounding. So I want to know those two things. I want to know the first paying music gig and then the first record.
The first playing music gig was very unimpressive. I was playing drums, I think, with a band that played a banquet, like a bowling banquet or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I've done just about everything, I think, in the music world. So I think that was the first paying work I ever did as a player. And then the first record, okay.
At 16. I'm going to go record a record. I'm 16. I'm going to go.
Well, okay.
I'm gonna go make an album.
So what happened was I've always had this kind of silly side, I guess, with with lots of things, and I created what is called an introductory verse for a nursery rhyme. The song "Mary Had a Little Lamb," right? And I decided it would really be fun to do "Mary Had a Little Lamb," like a jazz trio, piano trio might do it with a singer. And I wrote this. I made up this introductory verse. I want to tell a story of a girl that I know. Mary, Mary is her name. Another girl I'll never know to be quite the same. When I'm done this, you will know that. And then it went into the whole band playing. Mary had a little lamb. And it was funny for about 30 seconds. But some very nice people with a bunch of money thought it was terrifically funny, and they brought me and a bunch of professional older guy musicians into the studio in Philadelphia, and they recorded it and put out a record, and I was hooked. That was it, man. I never wanted
Amazing.
To do anything else.
Well, that was my next question, because did you ever have one single moment where you thought to yourself, I should just go be an engineer or, you know, something else?
Oh,
did you ever?
Only every time I ever sit down to compose something. Because, you know, because I think composers well, I'll speak for myself. Lots of times we're pretty self-effacing about, you know, this lonely task of sitting and composing music. It's a weird proposition to begin with. And, yeah, you know, I sit and it's like, wow, do I really know how to do this?
I understand. I want to hear, you know, a little bit more in the show about your process for composing, but I do want to play a couple of your tracks. And so I'm going to play the title track from A Gift of Moments. Just tell us really, really quickly what your inspiration was for this new album, because it happened in the lockdown. Briefly, and then we'll come back.
Sure. Well, the short story is I read something that a friend wrote about her deceased husband, and she used the phrase "a gift of moments" to describe their time together. And
there you go.
That really touched me. There you go.
Oh, well, the music is beautiful, so let's hear it. Here we go. A gift of moments.
Thank you. Thank you.
and welcome back to the show. You're listening to New Age Notes Radio, and I'm your host, Diane Garris. That track you just heard was A Gift of Moments, the title track from Louis Anthony DeLuise's upcoming new album, A Gift of Moments. Are you there, Louis?
I am. Thank you.
You're so welcome. That is so beautiful. Tell us about your composing process. And, so I want to hear about that for Natural Light and for the new album, A Gifted Moment. Like, what's the composing process? Because for me, I just hear the song, I hear it in my head, and then I try to play it. Kind of challenging. What is yours?
It oftentimes is that. I'll have an idea about something, hear it in my head, and formulate it in my head, and then try to tease out what it is I'm hearing. You know, so that it's very improvisatory. And then there's the whole craft part of things. You know, to craft it into what is this section going to repeat, or is it going to change keys here, or that kind of thing. And then other times I kind of make up challenges for myself. So with Natural Light, for instance, I live in an area where Walt Whitman, the famous poet, used to take walks and walk along streams and write his poetry and stuff. And there's a stream that I can see directly outside of my studio when I sit at the piano. And I was imagining, I was doing a lot of reading about Walt Whitman and reading his poetry. One of his lines, "In the Edge of the Water," kind of stuck with me. And I thought, well, gee, it might be neat to make a piece that would be reflective of that, that line. And so that was kind of one challenge. Another challenge was I made to myself was I'm going to construct this piece in this particular concert music form. This is getting like pretty in the weeds here, I guess, but rounded binary. So I wanted to write a piece in rounded binary. And then I thought, well, gee whiz, I'd like to use the Lydian mode for my musical material. The Lydian mode is something I've studied because it's used a lot in folk music from Calabria, where my mother's family emigrated. So, those kind of things became challenges, and I played with them, if you will, in my mind and at the piano, and that's how that particular piece was conceived and crafted. It always begins, though, with an idea, that kind of, as you described it very well, that kind of improvisatory idea that you have in your head, and you tease out what it is.
And in my case, I just try to play it and see what happens.
Well, you do very well. You succeed very often. So,
thank you. So, did your composing process change at all in the lockdown period when you conceived A Gift of Moments, or has it changed at all? Was it harder?
Well, I don't think that the process itself changed any. It's always about what I described, that improvisatory and then craft, those craft elements enter into it. With the lockdown, honestly, I think I, like just about every human being with a heartbeat, I've dealt with my share of being pretty blue during this time, not seeing family and friends. So there's been that part of it, just like everybody else, like, gee, just trying to get yourself to do anything,
Well, you did it and did it really well.
Well, thank
you. So you're welcome. The album is phenomenal. It's just amazing. One of your special talents, Louis, is orchestration. So, tell us a little about that and how you first discovered this talent. And we have like 5 minutes left, so I want to also play another track. So just really briefly about the orchestration.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, orchestration is figuring out what each instrument in an orchestra is going to play at any given moment in a composition. So that's what orchestration is about. And I've always been doing that since I was a teenager. You know, some of my idols as a kid growing up were musicians who played in bands and were great arrangers. You know, Henry Mancini or Dave Brubeck or Pete Rugolo, you know, all these guys. So,
well, you're of that caliber. You're of that caliber for sure.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Well, it's true. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. All right. So you've written
a
song. You're welcome. You've written a book on songwriting. Tell us the title and tell us where people can get it.
The book is called The Professional Songwriter, The Professional Songwriter, and it's available, as they say, wherever books are sold, you know, Amazon for one, at my website for two.
Okay.
That's Lewis.
Tell us your
Lewis.
What
it's odd. All the other good names were taken, so I just use lewisanthonydelise.com. It's just my name.
lewisanthonydelise.com. The book
That's
of the professional songwriter. Okay,
That's
very
correct.
Good. And then give advice to anybody of any age that wants to make it in the music business today. What is your best advice? And then I'm going to close out, just so everyone knows, we're going to close out with the track Always in My Heart from Lewis's new album, A Gift of Moments, which is available everywhere on the 13th, right, Lewis?
The 16th, yes.
Oh, the 16th. Oh, wow.
The 16th. That's close enough. Close enough. So advice to people wanting to get into the music world, I think the best advice I can give anybody is just make honest music. Be honest with yourself. Be authentic. Make music that is authentically yours. And then I think beyond that, practice and learn as much as you can. Study and learn. Become an expert in something musical, you know, playing an instrument or writing or both.
Exactly. And do you believe people can really make a living at music today, in today's world?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been very fortunate to always only ever do music. So, yes, it can happen.
Yes.
It can.
Yeah. Wonderful. That's great.
It's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure.
No, but I think, you know, somebody that's really musically inclined needs to just go for it, right?
Absolutely. You have to have those requisites too, though.
Yeah. Thank you, Lewis Anthony DeLise. And your album, people can get it at lewisanthonydelise.com, correct?
Yes, in Apple Music, Spotify, Bandcamp, Amazon, and in stores like Target and other places like that.
Cool. Thank you for being my guest, and we're going to close out with Always in My Heart. Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you, Diane.
Bye.